Tom Paulkin, and I'm going to keep the introductions short today. We've got four of us who are speaking, and obviously we're on a short time fuse. Some of you may have seen the news this morning. The theater of the absurd continues in Venezuela. Chavez shuts down McDonald's in Venezuela, obvious the latest imperialist threat from the United States. Where is Bill Casey when we need him? You know, when I served on the Reagan transition team in late 1980 and early 1981, the communist guerrillas in El Salvador were on the march. They were hoping to grab yet another country in Central America. Of course, the Sandinistas already had gotten control of Nicaragua, and President Carter's disastrous foreign policy in Latin America and elsewhere had put in play El Salvador as the next nation expected to go to the communists. Carter's ambassador to El Salvador at the time, Robert White, was harshly critical of the anti-communist government of El Salvador while being remarkably sympathetic to the leftist guerrilla movement in El Salvador. But fortunately, the Marxist forces weren't able quite to move quickly enough to grab El Salvador, and Ronald Reagan took office January 20th. I remember it well, and from day one, we put every effort behind shoring up the anti-communist forces in El Salvador, and that nation remains free even today, thanks to the Reagan foreign policy our administration put in place in Latin America. Leftist regimes were in retreat throughout the Reagan years across the globe as the president developed a strategy to win the Cold War, a victory achieved, by the way, with hardly a shot being fired by American forces and very little loss of American lives. In fact, our use of American troops to rescue American medical students in Grenada and overthrow the Marxist regime of Maurice Bishop was one of the very few instances in which our military forces were deployed as part of our strategy to win the Cold War. Instead, we provided assistance and support to various anti-communist forces across the globe and helped them take their own countries back from the communists. By the time Ronald Reagan left office in 1989, we'd won the Cold War and the left was in retreat throughout Latin America, with Fidel Castro increasingly isolated on his communist island of Cuba. Fast forward to 8 years of policy disasters in an ostensibly Republican administration headed by George W. Bush. We have made major strategic mistakes and blunders in dealing with the serious threat of militant Islam, which is a far bigger problem today than it was before 9/11. We have fueled the credit excesses in our bubble economy that began back in the Clinton administration with the help of Robert Rubin and Alan Greenspan. But we did nothing in this administration to address it until we hit that day of reckoning, which has finally arrived. And in Latin America, our incoherent and thoughtless policy of neglect in that region has allowed for the rise to power of a whole new batch of would-be Fidel Castros throughout the Western Hemisphere. As if that wasn't bad enough, we've even witnessed the return to power of the discredited Sandinista regime led by Daniel Ortega, one of the swarmiest political figures on the left in our lifetime. What an incredible amount of damage to our conservative movement, the Republican Party in our country, has been done by an administration which has squandered the political capital built up over three decades of hard work by Goldwater Reagan conservatives. That capital is gone, and we conservatives literally have to start all over in rebuilding a set of principled policies to address the enormous economic, foreign policy, and cultural challenges we face. My topic this afternoon focuses on the dangers rising on our southern flank. Let's begin with the powerful comeback of an anti-American leftism of the sort that Fidel Castro typified in his heyday. Hugo Chavez declares Fidel Castro to be his inspiration, as he steadily centralizes all power in his hands in his march to establish the People's Republic of Venezuela. Every revolution needs enemies to attack and blame, and the United States handily fills that bill for Chavez, who proclaims us as the main obstacle in the way of his implementation of his so-called socialist revolution. Not only has Hugo Chavez consolidated power in energy-rich Venezuela, but he also has put in place a strategy to carry out his leftist brand of social and political revolution throughout the region. That strategy involves helping like-minded leftists garner and solidify power in other Latin American nations while seeking to undermine perceived enemies of Chavez's, quote, march to socialism in such nations as Colombia and Mexico. Right next door in Colombia, Chavez has done his best to weaken the conservative government of President Alvaro Uribe, who has been winning a long, bloody war against the murderous narco-terrorists who call themselves the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, the FARC, to use its Spanish acronym. Files found in the computer of a dead FARC leader lends credence to the belief that Chavez supports that movement not just with words, but with money and arms. Friends of mine who are very close to the political situation in Mexico in the recent election for the president down there are convinced that Hugo Chavez provided significant assistance to the leftist candidate for president in 2006, Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador. Felipe Calderon, the conservative leader of PAN, narrowly defeated his leftist opponent in that election, but Obrador continues to call himself and behave as if he were, quote, the legitimate president of Mexico. Considering that Mexico shares a nearly 2,000-mile border with the United States, Americans don't realize how close a call it was in 2006 when a Hugo Chavez would-be ally came dangerously close to winning that election in Mexico. The prospect of political chaos returning to a country that has had its share of violence since its revolution of 1910 obviously should cause us much concern. The situation in Mexico becomes all the more worrisome in light of the drug-related violence presently afflicting the U.S.-Mexico border. An estimated 90% of the cocaine that enters the United States passes through Mexico, and according to the Congressional Research Service, Mexican drug cartels now dominate the wholesale illicit drug market in the United States, with the seven major cartels fighting and murdering between and among themselves for control of that lucrative trafficking route, or those lucrative trafficking routes. The assassination of police officers and public officials is a key tactic of the cartels. They, and Texans here in our state, are directly affected by the drug-driven violence which afflicts our U.S.-Mexico border communities. For example, as of last year, more than 60 Americans have been kidnapped in the Mexican border town of Nuevo Laredo. We cannot afford to have Mexico fall under the control of a Hugo Chavez, Fidel Castro style of regime. Yet that could easily happen if we don't put policies in place soon to reverse present trends. Already Evo Morales and Olivia, Rafael Correa and Ecuador and our old friend Daniel Ortega are busily at work imposing their leftist models of political power in their respective nations. What can be done to reverse the situation? And what is our strategy? And where are the Bill Caseys, William Clarks, Cap Weinbergers, those caliber of public officials out there to execute a new policy, foreign policy direction for the United States and Latin America? Let me at this point voice my strong disagreement with the sentiments reportedly expressed by Senator Norm Coleman that were quoted this morning, that Latin America needs more thinking along the lines of Rousseau and Kant. I think it has enough of that already and less of Aquinas. I would say just the opposite. Latin America needs to return to the political philosophy of Thomas Aquinas, and I would add the philosophy of the great Spanish political philosopher José Ortega y Gasset. And that's why the Catholic Church becomes very critical in this ongoing battle. Traditionally, the Catholic Church in Latin America has been a strong force for stability and conservatism. The Mexican Revolution of 1910, like the French Revolution, was at its essence an anti-religious revolution. Unfortunately, in the Catholic Church, the virus of liberation theology combined with base communities, so-called Christian Marxism, gained significant influence within the Catholic Church beginning in the late 1960s and continuing through the 70s. That infiltration of the Catholic Church by hard leftists paved the way for the rise to power of the Sandinistas in Nicaragua and aided leftist advances in other South and Central American nations. Pope John Paul II cracked down on the liberation theology crowd in the 1980s, and Pope Benedict XVI has continued doing so and following John Paul's policies in that regard. But it takes a while to clean out the stables, and that continues to be a work in progress. Nonetheless, the leadership of the Catholic Church in Latin America is an important ally in building a constructive alternative to the anti-religious leftist political forces which have become so powerful south of our border. In addition, we need to encourage the continued development and education of young scholars in Latin America grounded in the principles of ordered liberty and protection of private property rights. We also need to address, if you will, this out-of-control illicit drug trade by simultaneously expanding our support of President Calderon's valiant effort to go after the drug cartels while initiating a new campaign here at home to address the demand side of the equation, very similar to a much-maligned and yet very successful program we initiated in the Reagan administration, led by Mrs. Nancy Reagan and Dr. Carlton Turner, called the Just Say No to Drugs program, which had a significant impact on discouraging and resulting in discouraging young people from entering into the drug culture and encouraging signs about the declining use of illegal drugs, which unfortunately have taken off again in this decade. And finally, we need a government led by conservatives determined to improve our relationship with our neighbors to the south and support, once again, those forces for the good in the private sector, along with religious believers who have the personal and political courage to stand up to the leftist thugs who have done so much damage and are continuing to do so and destroying economic opportunity for people in Latin America and uprooting social stability for the average citizen. A combination of those, and I hate to say, I don't see an indication whatever happens in this election that will be back on the agenda, but we better start paying attention to Latin America. We've heard from so many speakers today the consequences of our neglect and of our failed policies in recent decades, and it's about time we begin to focus again on our neighbors to the south and put back a policy in place to encourage, if you will, economic development opportunity, a stronger private sector, and support for the traditional religious values which are so central to the South and Central American ethics. Thank you very much.